Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Happiness Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Ms. Mary Kramer. Mary, why don't you take it from here?
Thanks, Tanya. So I have to thank Tanya for inviting me to be a part of this summit, because I so believe in health and wealth and transformation. So thank you so much, Tanya. It's just fabulous to be here. And then I also wanted to thank the listeners that are either here today or that will be here in the future. And what I did is I set an intention. My intention was that whomever needed or wanted to hear what I had to say will find me and will find Tanya as being part of the Public Speakers Association. I do most everything in my life I set by intention, by careful intention. So a little bit about me. I'm a registered nurse, a certified medical meditation and stress management consultant. I speak nationally. I'm honored to be part of eWomen Network, a premier success coach. And I am starting with to be an executive director here for Public Speakers Association in Cincinnati, Ohio. So we're just in the very, very, very beginning phase of that. And I'm so very excited for all of these things. You know, I started many years ago in the 80s studying energy and how it blends with health and wellness and happiness and unhappiness. And what I like to do is blend my medical background, which is a registered nurse, and the plethora of energy-based studies I've done over the years, and then universal energetic principles. Excuse me. I love to take my intuition and guide individuals and business owners to help them recognize their signals of energy imbalance and then the innate body wisdom for positive transformation. What that does is it prevents burnout, it helps to release stress, and then it helps to manifest. So today, what we're going to be talking about is the secret of manifesting: change your energy to change your life. However, I guess the first question is, like, what is energy? And then what are we going to go over in the talk here? So energy is movement. All it is. It is movement. It's positive or negative. It is physical. It is not physical. And we're going to go over that. So after we get finished with today's talk, you're going to have a better understanding of these quantum dynamics of what is energy. How does energy affect our health, our wealth, our struggles, and then our transformations? And let's face it, our transformations can really be positive or negative, and we all go through them, myself included. What blocks energy? And then how do we change our energy? And by doing so, then how does that change our life? So energy is movement. It's our thoughts, our actions. It's our interactions with another person, whether we're actually right next to that person or in a room with them or not. So the way I like to explain this is, imagine that you're in a room and there's a table on opposite corners of the room. And you've all seen those cylindrical tubes. And when you take a mallet and you hit on them, they make a sound. So let's say that there is a scale there. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We'll act like we're playing a piano here. And each of the tables have that scale with those tubes. And someone takes a hammer, well, you know, like I'm going to fix your house hammer. It's like a mallet for those tubes. And they hit middle C. And when you walk away to the opposite side of the room, middle C is humming or dinging or ringing, as you call it. Now, why is that? So there was an energetic transfer from one side of the room, and that attracted the sound. There was an energy wave. Now, I can't necessarily see those waves, but it's there. It's like when you push a button on the radio on your car, I just know that when I turn that on, that the radio, that the sound is going to be there to the channel that I want. Now, do I know how it got there? No. All I know is there's a radio station, there are towers, there's energy out there, and then my radio tunes into it. And that's exactly what happens with energy transference, and that's the sample or the example that I gave you of opposite sides of the room with the tuning forks. Middle C connected with middle C. Why did the other ones not start dinging and humming? Because it wasn't their sound. It takes the energetic movement, it takes the symmetry, it takes the likeness to attract another. So when we look at energy that way, we have to think about positive and negative influences. We can attract people, we can repel people. So it's really, we attract or repel people, places, things, and circumstances. Why does that happen? Well, I'd like to think it's for our highest good, that there's always learning opportunities for everyone and for all of us around, and myself included. I have had lots of things happen throughout my life that I might consider negative at the time. However, later when time has passed and I processed, I realized it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. But let's face it, when we're going through our own crap, it is not always easy, is it, everybody? And I know people are out there shaking their heads going, yes, I agree, because these things happen to all of us. So our body is made up of a lot of stuff. It's made up of bone, cartilage, muscle, tendons, fascia, cells. So when I talk about things at the cellular level in a minute here, that's like the smallest areas, smallest things in our body. And what happens is we have these positive and negative influences that are going on outside in our periphery of the body. We also have positive and negative things happening inside our body. So either you're listening to me by standing, sitting, walking. You're doing like one of these three things right now, or you could be laying down. But the body, what it does, it's all about opposites. And this is how I want to explain this. So in your room or wherever you are going to play along with me, okay? So if we think of opposites, if I say the word up, you thinkers say down. If I say right, you go left. Inside, there's outside. You have with and without. So all of those, oh, and then there's above and below, right? So those are opposites. The body goes in opposites. If we were not connected with flexion and extension muscles, we would be a blob on the floor. So our body thinks in opposite, our body works in opposites, as well as our brain thinks in opposites. Remember the up, down, the left, right. So the minute you say, I want something, the brain goes, no, you can't. And here's why it does that. It does that to protect us. The body does two things, and it does two things very exquisitely. It remains in homeostasis, which is balance, or repair. Now, those things are going on constantly, whether we're aware of it or not. My body, as you can hear a little bit, I still have a raspy voice. It's still in the basis of repair right now. Now, I know that's going on because I had been very sick for about 3 weeks with this respiratory thing going around the country. However, did you know that every single night when you go to bed, your body is in a very, very deep state of repair? When we wake up, we bring our circumstances back to life with us. But during our sleep, we are repairing. Now, when I'm walking around and when I'm talking, even with here, you guys, my body is in a state of either balance or repair. All of my organs, all of my body systems, so we have the endocrine system that deals with our hormones. We have the skeletal system, which is our bones. We have the muscular system. Our skin is a system. So, and there's several others. So as we think of the body, these systems, they're in a constant state of homeostasis or balance and repair. Now, I know this is happening while I'm talking to you, but I really don't feel it. It just goes on. It's innate knowledge. The body knows what it's supposed to do. So what is so very cool is I want you to think about your breathing. You weren't thinking about it, were you? You were just breathing like I have been, or in your own pace, right? So I want us to take a deep breath in, and I'm going to do this with you. And we're going to hold it for a few seconds, and we're going to exhale. And let's do that again. Let's take a really deep breath in through your nose. We're going to hold it for a few seconds. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now exhale forcefully through your mouth. So what's happened is I brought your attention to your breathing. Before, it was happening automatically. You weren't worried about it. You weren't paying attention. You just know that the breathing is happening and you breathe all day long. However, when I bring your attention to it, in it, you become very aware of it. I've changed your thought process. I've changed your energy. Your brain's thought process has changed. Your energy changed. It was brought to your lungs, maybe your nose, your mouth, your abdomen when it moved, your lungs when it moved. I brought your attention to there. The reason I did that is a way that you can begin a thought process for manifesting. You breathe in, you take a deep breath, you get very aware of your surroundings, you get very grounded, you get very centered because you're paying attention to your body. You are slowing down your heart rate, you are slowing down your breathing process, and that helps to reduce any stress that's actually going on. It's an automatic stress release. It's an automatic lower your blood pressure. How do I use it? I take some deep breaths every single morning or throughout the day when I find I need it. I use it before I want to make an important phone call. I might use it when I'm listening to somebody on the other end that's getting on my last nerve, and I just might need to calm down and to stay very focused and very present. That's how I use that breathing technique. And all it is taking some deep breaths, right? Everybody can do that. Pardon me. So I want us to think of some times when you might have taken some deep breaths and you really didn't know why you were doing it. Kids, when they get frustrated with adults, watch them take a deep breath. Now, I know the adults don't like it, especially when the adult is talking to the child, but in all honesty, it's one of the ways the body is trying to calm them down and to recalibrate. So I'm just tossing that out there. Okay. Something else we can do with respect to energy. I want everybody, let's put our hands together, and we're going to rub them palm to palm, and we're just going to rub them together for a few seconds, rubbing, rubbing, rubbing. You may feel some warmth in your hands, and now I want you to stop. And separate your hands, maybe about a half inch to an inch, and what do you feel? You might feel some numbness, some tingling, some, I don't know what it feels like, I just know it feels different, and I may or may not have felt that before. And then there might be some people that feel absolutely nothing. So let's go back again. Let's rub our hands together. And now let's pull away maybe 2 or 3 inches. Does that feel a little different? A and let's put them back together like an accordion. So you're pulling apart like a little taffy pull and you put back together. How far can you pull away in which you feel something and then it stops? The reason I do this is we've created an energy exchange between your hands. The majority of people will feel this and some people won't. It's okay. Either way, it is perfectly fine. However, what we've done is in doing that exchange of energy, it allows your body to become aware. You're aware of the present situation. You may have felt warmth. You may have felt some cold. You may have felt some tingling. You might not have felt anything. And if you didn't feel anything, the exchange is still going on. The receptors in your hand that are talking to your brain just have not caught up to each other yet. And the reason I like to do this is it's another example of energy exchange. So energy exchange can take place without us even being aware of it. Energy knows no bounds. Imagine you pick up the telephone that just rang and you go, you know, I was just thinking of you. Well, why did that happen? Remember those radio waves I talked about just a little bit ago? Well, what happened is that person was communicating on an energetic level with you. Your vibrations were, one was being sent, the other was being received by you. And poof, when you answered that phone, you go, oh, I was just thinking of you. Or I was just thinking I was going to call you, and here you called me. So that is how, that's like, that's attraction. That's law of attraction at its finest. And so we can utilize these things to our benefit within our personal life and our business life. If, I'm just going to say this, if you have a business coach and they're telling you, make calls, make calls, make calls, and you're like, I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to. Okay, so that's opposites. One says yes, your brain is saying no, trying to protect you. I want to give you this clue. Sit down. Take a few breaths. Get grounded. Get centered. Think about the person that you would like to be making the call to. Let's say it's Tuesday and it's noontime. And you think to yourself, or you can speak out loud, when would be the best time for me to reach out to this individual? And you wait for the answer. And the first one you get, I want you to write it down. And here's why. You're using your intuition. You've calmed yourself before you make the call. I pretty much guarantee your part of the call is going to go better than if you feel like you're being forced to do it and you don't want to do it because you're putting that energy behind it. The call won't be what you really want it to be. And what you want to do, no matter what your call is about, is you want to feel confident. You want to feel secure because it's your subject matter that you're talking about. The outcome, that's a different story. But the key is that you want to stay in the present moment and make the call when you feel the best and self-assured about yourself. I guarantee you it works. I use it all the time. All the time. So whether we think of our body or our business, there is a wellness continuum that happens. So let's start as you're looking ahead and you're seeing this like being written on a wall or a chalkboard. There's healthy or well, there's stressed, there's illness and disease. So whether it's our body or whether it's our business, we go through these phases. Healthy or well, stressed, illness and disease. So if we're healthy, awesome, that's it. But I guarantee you we aren't going to be healthy our whole life. Our business isn't going to be healthy all the time. We get stressed about things. Disease or illness is always, let me try this again. The precursor to illness is stress. You never just like get ill out of nowhere. There's some stressor that happened before. And we'll talk about that a little bit later with some details as to where you can find some stressors in your body. So we're well or healthy, stressed, illness, and disease. And do you know what? All of these can be reversed. I believe every single disease process can be reversed. And the reason is because there's blockages inside the body for our personal self or our business self. There's streams of wellness or streams of good energy that goes through. Then we get stressed. If we stay stressed long enough, it turns into an illness. If the illness is there long enough and it doesn't get reversed, it can turn into a whopping disease process. So I don't really want that for any of us with respect to our bodies or our business, because it's not necessary. The minute we feel stressed, there are things to do. That technique I taught you about breathing, it's awesome. It's very simple. You know, sometimes people wait, or they're expecting to hear horns to blow and the seas to part. And you know what? It can be something extremely subtle that allows us to move from where we are to where we want to be. Because nature always goes forward. Nature never goes backwards. So we are always moving forward. And the body is, and the body and the brain, that mind-body connection, are working so very hard to get us back into balance. And again, energy knows no bounds. And it's our thought processes. Those thought processes affect us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. And there might be other ways, but those are the ways that I really just kind of think of energy. And energy directs, it's like an organic process. And that makes the difference between sickness and health, whether it's for our person or for our business. And we talked about, you know, that brain or that mind-body connection and how the brain thinks in opposites to keep us safe. And we want to do something and the brain will automatically say, no, you can't. So it's all the ego. That brain is just, it's designed to keep us safe. There are times when we need to listen, right? You're somewhere and you feel the hairs stand up on the back of your neck. By all means, let's pay attention to this, right? Your body is giving you a clue that something is not right. Like it is terribly, terribly, terribly wrong. So you pay attention, right? However, let's say you're just out to meet somebody and you're getting a little nervous because you think you don't do it very well. Pardon me. And you're starting to get your pants in a wad and the stress is getting bigger and bigger and bolder and bolder. So what's going on? Your body is just trying to keep you safe. If you take a deep breath, get your heart rate to calm down, get your blood pressure to calm down, you will be able to meet people, and it doesn't really matter what you say. Your body's innate wisdom is going to take over, and whatever is supposed to happen will happen. And I really want you to trust me on that. So let's talk about 100th monkey theory. So this is the way this goes. Imagine that there are two islands in the middle of nowhere. There's going to be island A and island B. And these monkeys that are there have inhabited both of those islands for a very long time. Now, Island A, these monkeys learned how to do something that the monkeys on Island B don't know how to do. What that something is, I don't know. We're just saying they learned how to execute a task on Island A that they've really never done before, and Island B monkeys don't know how to do it. So this theory, and it's proven that when the 100th monkey on Island A can execute that task, all of a sudden on Island B, the monkeys are now executing that same task. And the question I posed to you is, how? Nobody was there to teach them. They didn't have the visual ability to learn. There was no hearing ability to learn. No monkey went from Island A to Island B and traveled over to Island B to teach them and train them. So what happened? Well, there was a transference of energy. And the transference took place between Island A and Island B. You look at the light bulb. I can't give you the details, but more than one person came up with a light bulb almost all at the same time. So what I believe happens is that there's trinkets of transformation that are, I say, being dropped down from above. Like when people are creating things, right? So things, I think there's little droplets of information. And if we are on that information wavelength, what I say comes from above, but really we're hearing it from within, right? Coming from the outside, but we're hearing it from within. What I believe is happening is the person who is supposed to acquire that additional knowledge of what they're thinking, poof, it is just, it is integrated within their body and their being and their mind, and they're the one that it was chosen for. That energy from above was picked up by someone, because when things are invented and when ideas are conceived, I just know that there's not only one person on this whole earth that is getting that idea. However, there's one person that might be in tune with it. And then the next person gets in tune with it. And the next person gets in tune with it. Think of the person, I should know their name, I don't know these details, that broke the 4-minute mile barrier years and years ago. Until that was broken, nobody else did it, right? And then shortly thereafter, because that person taught that others that it can be done, there were all these other runners that started breaking the 4-minute mile barrier. That's huge. So that's an exchange of energy. And to me, that shows that everything that we see, hear, think, and experience is really stored at the cellular level. And why that happens is, let's just face it, everything is connection. People talk about the mind-body connection, but my brain, via my spinal cord, is attached to the rest of my body. So it's all one. It's one being. It's one thing. And so it can't be separated. And I just don't know why for years people think that it was separated. Like, it's all together, folks. And so it's an energy exchange. So let's talk about, like, that athlete, right? He broke that 4-minute mile barrier. Well, what if other people think that they can't do it? Or what if there's something else in their life that causes fear, grief, anger, and worry? Do you know that all of those emotions are stored at the cellular level? There is nothing that escapes our body. It's stored somewhere. It can be stored in a variety of different places, because every single organ in our body, there's an emotional component associated with stress or disease processes. And what we need to do is begin to process. Let's say something scares us. Let's say we're having huge grief over something in our business or in our family, or there's anger, or there's worry. Okay. We all get it. We all have it. Some people process quicker than others. What I want to share is that we need to start dealing with it. We don't have to fix it. It doesn't have to come full circle. If it does, great. But we have 48 hours to begin to deal with the situation. If not, it can really start to wreak havoc on our life, whether it's personal or business. It can affect us physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually. So the key is honoring and acknowledging that it's there. What can I do at the present moment? Like, is it life-threatening, life-shattering? Deal with it right now. You know, call an ambulance. Get to the ER. Can't wait for that, right? Or can I sit down, take a few minutes, and kind of go through some questions? What's going on? What was happening prior to this? What can I see may or may not be the continuum to happen in the future? And what is one thing, excuse me, please. What is one thing that I can do now? Because I want to stop that flow. Again, unless it's a life-threatening emergency, oh, you are going to deal with that right now. But that's why we have to pay attention to what's going on in our life and not put it on the back burner, as I call it, because if it gets stored at the cellular level, oh gee, then what happens is it starts going through the systems of the body, right? Something that we don't deal with that's been around for a very long time might be MS. Settles in the muscles and the joints. That's one of the later phases of storage where it stays, right? Solid, firm, it's there. The first place anything enters into our body is really like the solar plexus or the gut, as I call it. That's the second brain. That's why you may hear some people say, oh, it's gut-wrenching. Mm-hmm. That's the second brain, and that's the emotions, and that's where the emotions start entering, is we feel it at the solar plexus. And then it travels through, and it goes through the various systems of the body the longer it's there. The longer we do not process something, the more it becomes solidified. Instead of a stressor, it can become like an illness or a disease. And there's many organs, that was a silly statement. We have a lot of organs. All of the organs that we have are associated with an emotional component. And there's many, many maps and pictures out there for that. So I won't go into that. But one I could go into, because I've been coughing a whole lot, is lungs. Now, do I believe we can catch germs from somebody else? Absolutely. It's out there. It's proven. So that's why you always hear, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. So that's really important. But do I also believe that there's an emotional component involved? Absolutely. Absolutely. Lungs are about grief. Letting go. So then what I would do is I would think, what is something that I would like to be letting go of? Or what is something that is causing me grief? And I honor and acknowledge. Acceptance takes a little bit longer. However, you honor and acknowledge, and then that process begins so that I can start releasing and start releasing and start releasing. So that's an example of the mind-body connection at the cellular level. Pardon me, let me give you another example. So several months ago, so that I can keep this a green process here, I was getting ready to travel to New York, and I was going to be doing some training and education there as a registered nurse for a company. And as I was laying in bed that night, I go, oh, you know, I've been doing this about 10 years now, and I'm kind of getting tired of traveling. So we have to be careful what we say or what we wish for, as I say, because that's really all I said. And I want you to hear what I manifested the very next morning. So I got up less than 12 hours later after I went to bed, and I go to the airport, and I've got my luggage already. I'm standing behind my vehicle, and I'm waiting for the long-term parking bus to pick me up and take me to the airport. The driver had my big bag. I had my purse on one shoulder, and I had my laptop computer bag in my hand. And I took a step up with my left leg. And then I screamed. at that very second, I tore the meniscus in my knee. Thought I was going to barf, thought I was going to pass out. Thank goodness that bar was there. I grabbed it and I'm going in my mind, oh, holy crap, this is not good. Like, this really hurts. And I want you to know, just 10 times intense that statement, right? Because it hurt so bad, I thought I was going to barf. If I had thought, I probably could have just backed up and stayed right there. But no, you know, did I tweak it or did I do something more major? So I decided to go to the airport. I'm standing on the curb and I'm just truly standing there. Can't wait there. Tears are rolling down my eyes going, now this is pretty serious. I don't think I'm going to New York today. So, of course, I saw a doctor, a very bad meniscal tear, like really bad. And my knee was starting to swell up like the size of a bowling ball. So I had to take care of it, right? But let's go back to the beginning of my story. What did I say before I went to bed? I'm a little tired of traveling. Did I specify that I really like to go on vacations? No, I just said to the universe, I'm really tired of traveling. And I would like to not have to travel so much. Boom. Do you know that in less than 12 hours, I manifested several months off? Yes, my knee was a mess. Had to go through therapy, had a couple injections, and then I switched doctors because it was the right thing to do, and I need to take it to that next level of healing. So I listened to my intuition. I manifested. Now, I didn't say everything we manifest is positive. However, a lot of really good things have taken place with me being off. I've created a lot of new stuff for my business. And so my words to you are, be careful what you wish for. Design the phraseology so that it works out for your best interest. I got exactly what I asked for. Although I had an injury along the way when I got what I asked for, right? So that's an example of things that might not have worked out the way I thought they were going to, yet we all know that things happen for our highest good, and then we process the experience to get on the other end of it, right? And that's what I had to do. So there's many people on this line that are speakers who would like to be speakers. So how could you change the energy of that room before you even get there? There's a couple things. And you can actually modify and use this for a lot of things, for clients, etc. You want to ask for the perfect audience to be present, whether it's virtual or in person. I did that before this call. You ask that the energy of the room be that of learning and exchange. You ask that the information that is presented is for the audience's highest good. You ask that if you are the teacher or you are the speaker, you are open to feeling the energy of the room because you can tell what's working and what's not working. You want to set the intention that before people walk through those doors, they leave all their crap outside those doors. And there's some very specific things that one can do to get the energy of the room just perfect, to set the intentions so that it meets your physical, your mental, your wisdom, the monetary goals. There's all kinds of things that one can do energetically to set the intention of the room for your business, for your phone calls that you're going to make. It applies and it transfers to so many different areas. And that's what I think is really, really, really cool about energy. Dr. Christian Northrup, she had this quote, and I put it in a book I wrote called Healing is an Inside Job, How to Accelerate Your Body's Rate of Healing and Recovery. It's a guidebook and a workbook. And I love this quote. It says, my body and its condition are a barometer that is always trying to tell me which direction to go for my maximum creativity, health, and fulfillment. And because I'm human, I get off track now and again, but I know I can always get back on. And that is so true, whether it's our personal life or our business life. Oh gosh, we all get off track. But the key is getting back on. And when we get off track, what happens is the flow of energy is not doing what it's supposed to. Everything flows in our body, up, down, left, right. It goes to our cells. The neurons are communicating. The cells are communicating. We have receptors that are picking things up. We have, I forget what they're called, but they're letting them go. It just escapes me at this moment as I'm talking. And so whatever, and then it goes through our waste system and we eliminate, right? So we can eliminate from our brain our thoughts. We can eliminate from our genital urinary system. It eliminates there. Things that are not in our highest good, we can get rid of. And so as we're thinking about this energy, what causes a block? Well, it's lack of a reduced flow. So if I have anger, and I think anger, 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 and there's a situation that just beyond frustrated me. It went from, oh my gosh, to full-blown anger, like steam coming out of a bull's ears, you know, that picture where you're just like fed up. Well, what can happen? Well, the gallbladder and the liver are associated with anger. You can have some mental fatigue. You can have eye strain. We can be just have general fatigue. That's just an area of the body that anger can go into. Grief goes to lungs, lung and large intestine. That allows us to let go of stuff. The respiratory system is associated with the lungs, right? Lungs up and out the mouth. Could be out the nose, right? We cough a lot. We're not breathing as well. Hence me these last couple weeks. So I picked up something good. Now, do I believe that there could be an infection process going on? Yes, because I did take some medicine. Did it help? No. So that let me know it was virus. Okay. Can I pick up a virus from germs? Absolutely. Can I deal with it? Yes. If I don't deal with it, can it progress worse and worse? Sure. It could be a cough, a cold, go to pneumonia, worse and worse, right? So the way you look at this is, what if I actually had a medical condition going on that was caused by a virus or an infection, right? Okay, great. However, what if at the same time I'm letting go of something that is no longer in my highest good? Do you think that that infection or that virus could take longer to eliminate from the body? Yes, because how long was it stored there? And then the illness or the cough or cold or the bronchitis that one gets, it starts to release the current thing, but then it also starts to release the stored up, pent up energy that was there. And that's one of the reasons why it may take longer to eliminate. So what is low back? Low back is giving one's power away to a person, a place, or a thing. Do you know that the United States has more back pain than any other country? Back pain is really not associated with other countries. And I just wanted to tell you that I find that kind of fascinating. What it means, I have not dealt that far yet in my psyche, but look at these women in other countries that carry 200 and 300 pounds on their head. They're tiny as can be, and they don't have back pain. So I just wanted to give you that as a pause for thought. What is something else? Worry can be dealing with digestion or headaches. You, of course, can have some physical manifestations of headaches in the front, but that is another emotion that is dealt with in our body right up front. And that maybe a few people on this call can associate with. A quote that I really like, it was done by a psychologist, and he was a champion bodybuilder. His name is Charles Garfield. So imagine that you are like training for something as a sport. Imagine that you're training, you're working with your coach, you're working with a mentor for your business, okay? You're training and you're doing something. And here's what he has to say. Once the physical training is done, the difference between winning and not winning is in your head. Look at the Olympic athletes. They are functioning at the highest level. They would not be there if they didn't have the skills to be there. The difference in winning or not winning oftentimes is the game that's going on inside the body versus what's happening outside the body. That's an energy exchange. So when we see things and we hear things and we experience things, those things are, of course, stored at that cellular level. And I talked about how all of our organs are associated with an emotional component, such as fear, anger, grief, and worry, and that we have 48 hours to begin to deal with a situation. And then if we don't, it really does take hold in our body. Oops, I have to cough. Hold on. And what our body will do is create an energetic blockage. However, first it starts at the mind's level, at our thought processes. So here's an example of that. Back in 1950, there was a new drug out. It was called Krebsiazin. And it kind of made national publicity as this cure for cancer. And it was being tested by the American Medical Association at the time and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. And one of the researchers involved with this testing was a doctor called Dr. Bruno Klopfer. Now, Dr. Klopfer had a patient. We're going to call him Mr. Wright. I have no idea what his name is. And he was suffering from cancer of the lymph nodes. And all of the standard treatments really have been exhausted. And Dr. Wright appeared, and Mr. Wright appeared to have little time left. So his neck, his armpits, his chest, his abdomen, and his groin were all filled with tumors. They were the size of oranges. And his spleen and liver were so enlarged that they actually drained off a couple quarts of fluid from his body every day. So you know you're really sick when that's happening, right? However, Mr. Wright had discovered that Dr. Klopfer was involved in this research, and he begged to be given that drug treatment. And at first, the doctor refused because the drug was really untested, and it was only being tried on people with a life expectancy of at least 3 months. And I believe at this point in time, Mr. Wright did not even have that expectancy. And he begged and begged and begged. So Dr. Klopfer decided to give him one injection on a Friday. However, the doctor secretly suspected that Mr. Wright would not last through the weekend. And then the doctor was in for this really big surprise. So on Monday, the doctor found Mr. Wright out of bed and he was walking around. And he reported that his tumors had melted like snowballs on a hot stove, and they were half their original size. And this is far more rapid decrease in size than even the strongest x-ray treatments at that time could have accomplished. 10 days after, I mean, this is really cool, right? This is cool stuff. 10 days after Mr. Wright's first treatment, he left the hospital, and as far as his doctors could tell, he was cancer-free. Cool beans. However, he entered a hospital, and he needed help to breathe. It was as if he was he was on his own plane at 12,000 feet with no discomfort. Cool. So he remains well for about 2 months. I think I said that last thing wrong. Originally, when he entered the hospital, he needed an oxygen mask to breathe, and it was like he was without a plane up at 12,000 feet, and he was just miserable, right? So I had to clarify that. So Mr. Wright remained well for about 2 months. Then he started to see articles asserting that that drug actually had no effect on cancer and lymph nodes. And Mr. Wright, who was very rigid and logical and scientific in his thinking, became really, really depressed. And he suffered a relapse, and he was readmitted back to the hospital. And this time his physician decided to try an experiment. So the doctor told Mr. Wright that the drug was every bit as effective as it had seemed, but some of the initial supplies of the drug had deteriorated during shipping. And he explained that with the new highly concentrated version of the drug, that he could treat Mr. Wright with this. Of course, the physician didn't have this drug. He didn't have a new version. What he did is he injected the patient with nothing more than plain sterile water. It's known as a placebo. And again, Mr. Wright's results were dramatic. The tumor masses melted, the chest fluid vanished, and Mr. Wright was back on his feet and was feeling really great. Yet he had been injected with nothing more than sterile water. Let's think about this. This is the mind-body connection at its highest and best. We can bring it on or we can take it away. So anyway, he was symptom-free again for another couple of months, and then the AMA announced this nationwide study with this drug was basically worthless in the treatment of cancer. And in that time, the patient's faith was completely shattered. His cancer blossomed anew, and 2 days later, he died. Why do I share that with you? I share that with you because the mind-body connection is so, so very powerful. See, our brain does not know the difference between reality and non-reality. Our brain thinks everything is real, whether we think it, it's true, or whether it's not. It's designed that way, and it's designed that way to protect us. And so with all of the talk about energy that I expressed to you here today, it's important that we know where the blockages are in our body, because you know they can be physical, they can be mental, they can be spiritual, they can be environmental, and they can be what I call like worldly, like with your higher self and the planet. Excuse me. So what I wanted to invite you to do is for additional information about anything that I offer, but in particular for this PSA summit, I would love to invite you to go to my website, and it's marykramer.com. However, I'm going to spell Kramer. Mary is typically M-A-R-Y. But Kramer is K-R-A-E for energy, M-E for energy, R. You got to have those two E's in the last name or you're never going to find me. So it's marykramer.com/PSA summit. It's P as in Paul, S as in Sam, A as in Apple, and the word summit. And here's why I'd like you to go there. You can keep up to date with all that I have going on, my speaking engagements, and I have a very, very, very special offer to get a complete body scan of 150 different energetic body points. It'll give you the printout, the consultation, and the scan for the PSA listeners. I love Tanya Hoffman to death. That sounded awful. Could I rephrase that? I love Tanya Hoffman's energy. And she is such a delight to be around. And I know that anyone else that follows her and knows about her delight. And so that is how I wanted to wrap up today, letting you know that if you liked anything that I had to say, you can always sign up to receive my and go on the information list, which is my newsletter. I have, like I said, a very, very, very special offer for you guys that are listening in. And I just want to leave you with one thing. Whether you think you're right or not, you are. So you might as well think that you are. And that comes, and I paraphrase it a little bit, from Henry Ford. So until the next time we meet, everyone, be well.